Yeah, here we go now, baby. Right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Friday edition of Before You Bet, airing live right now on the Covers YouTube and X channels. Have a great big show planned for you guys today, breaking down our best bets in Major League Baseball. And we continue our deep dive into NFL features today. We will be breaking down our favorite wide receiver slash tight end props for the 2024 NFL season. I cannot wait. Major League Baseball, so I say it every goddamn season around this time, 162 games is too long. Seems like it's just dragging on. Seems like we're just kind of waiting for football to get going. College football gets going in 8 days. NFL not too far behind. So some housekeeping items here off the top. I am off all of next week. Big week coming up. We're moving into our new house tomorrow. Have a bunch of stuff to do there. Some painting, plumbers, electricians, all that stuff going on. So I will be off, but we are coming back in a big way on Monday, August 26th. We are going 5 days a week. We are going to be the number one destination for football betting picks and information on the internet. Pretty big claim right there, but we have some big guests coming on the show this year, this season for college and the NFL. We're probably going to be announcing those next week. So with me off, Jingles is off next week, producer Mick is off. There's going to be no Before You Bet episodes next week. But like I said, we're going to be right back with you guys on Monday, August 26th. And we will be back in a big way. Okay, so if you guys want to participate in the show, very easy to do so. Hit up that live chat, whether it be on YouTube or on X. Let us know what you're betting on in Major League Baseball. Let us know some picks you like, some predictions for the NFL season, and I will read a few off over the course of the program. And of course, if you're watching on YouTube right now, hit that like button right down there. Hit that subscribe button right down there. A lot of great content here on the Covers YouTube channel, including our preview and picks for the UFC 305 main event going down tomorrow in Perth, Australia. Ro and I, we filmed that Wednesday afternoon. Great looking main event there. Israel Adesanya versus Dricus Du Plessis. We break that all down, so you're going to want to check that out. Okay, so that is on Saturday. Let's get into what is taking place today. Major League Baseball. We're bringing in both guys right off the top here. The man with the sexiest smile in all sports betting, Jingles. We're in a nice button up there. And John, the Magic Ass Man, representing the you know you're a big NBA fan when you're wearing an NBA Summer League hat. So, John, very much love it. How are you making out, guys?
Good. I'm actually, this weekend, I'm going to see the legend in Indianapolis, Caitlin Clark, on Sunday, Seattle Storm, Indiana Fever. So I will be there on leaving tomorrow to go to Indy. I'll be at the game on Sunday. So.
Legend. Can you be a legend that quick? Can you really be a legend that quick? Like, I get it. Like, your numbers are crazy. But, like, do you get legend status after you haven't even finished your first year?
Well, she's the best rookie in the history of women's basketball, right? Like, you know, these type of athletes, a few of these guys and gals will pop up every decade. You know, you'd probably put Otani into that category. He was a big star right off the bat. You know, of course, a guy like LeBron comes into the league. We've seen some number one overall draft picks in the NHL, a couple quarterbacks here and there. But I think so. You know, you see these prodigies, sometimes they fall flat on their face. Sometimes they live right up to it. A guy like Bryce Harper, a guy like Sidney Crosby, it looks like Caitlin Clark might be in the same mold.
Yeah, I feel like I've seen the argument before of like how many kids are wearing their jersey and stuff. Like, I don't think it's just the statistical output from her. She's in her rookie year. I think it's how she's elevated the sport to like the point of like women's college basketball. Everyone was watching the national championship. Numbers were skyrocketing. I think it's just the overall popularity with the legend. My mother-in-law, it was a birthday present. She played university ball. She's pumped. She's never been to a WNBA game. She's really, really excited to see Caitlin Clark. So that's why I'm going.
Yeah, I can't say much. Have much interest in women's basketball, to be honest. But, you know, I do tend to keep tabs on the Caitlin Clark stuff. It's like Steph Curry. You know, he's going off and you see the highlights and she has similar instances. So, yeah, so have a great time at the game there. Mettler checking in on the live chat. Russian05. That MVP Baseball 205 in the background is the chef's kiss. Indeed, EA Sports. That's the best baseball video game ever, in my opinion. You could charge the mound. You could argue with the umpire. They have all the legends. Haven't played MLB The Show too much. Those baseball games playing 1 to 9 innings can take quite a long time. But yeah, an absolute blast here on the PlayStation 2. Okay, so I believe we have 6 total picks for Major League Baseball here tonight. So let's rip through these and then get into some NFL futures talk. I'm going to get us started in Cincinnati. Nick Martinez on the mound here for the Reds. And I will be fading this man. Going to go under 17 and a half outs, -110. So he is a much worse pitcher at home. His ERA almost 3 runs higher, sitting there at 4.41. So this is a guy who splits time as a starter and a reliever. And he's only topped this number once since the end of April. That came in his most recent start, 7 innings against the Brewers, undoubtedly his best performance of the season. So I think maybe a little bit of recency bias cooked into this number. And here's the thing. He's been fantastic as a reliever. He has a 1.86 ERA. As a starter, not so much. A 5.02 ERA. And he's taking on a Kansas City Royals team red hot versus right-handed pitching right now. 4th in OPS over the last 2 weeks. So I don't see Martinez going a full 6 innings versus the Royals here tonight. Next up, some afternoon action in Chicago with the Toronto Blue Jays in town. Jingles, Kyle Hendricks, what do you like for him?
Also like that Nick Martinez play too. 24 pitches more than his previous start, so hopefully scaled back. Let's go Kyle Hendricks over strikeouts. It's a small number. It's plus money. His leash is built up. 85 to 90 pitches projected. Could go 95. I like his over 15 and a half at plus 128, but I think I'll take the over 3.5 just because both teams were off yesterday, so bullpens are fresh. But Toronto coming off that West Coast trip, first game off a West Coast trip. We don't talk about it much in the MLB, but it's certainly a thing. They laid a dud when they went out to the West and then laid a dud in the game before they went out there. They played some bad teams, came away with some exciting plays. But at the end of the day, Oakland, all of their starters hit the 18 out mark versus them. And this is a spot where Kyle Hendricks has hit this in 3 straight. Shouldn't be too terrible in this spot. Toronto's still a pretty brutal offense, so I'm going to take the over at plus money on a pretty modest one just to get some of that afternoon action on at Wrigley. And the winds are blown out, but it's not wild Wrigley winds.
Okay, interrupt this Major League Baseball betting segment to announce UFC 307 just announced the main event title fight. Alex Pereira, maybe the hottest fighter in the sport right now, will be defending the light heavyweight championship against Khalil Roundtree. I don't know if he really deserves a title shot, but the UFC kind of have their hands tied with Islam Makhachev on the shelf with an injury, and Conor McGregor probably not fighting here in 2024 either. Okay, let's get right back to the baseball. And Johnny's taking a big swing here. John is a big supporter of Steve Kwan, and he likes him to go yard here. Break this one down.
Yeah, I'm taking Steven Kwan to home run. It was plus 1,200 when I bet it. It's now plus 1060. I figured that would probably happen because I kind of was just going after this from like a rogue price angle. I was going through the home run market, and Kwan was about 800, 850. Every single sportsbook except FanDuel who had him at plus 1,200. So like immediately that just kind of grabbed my attention. And I was looking at it, going through the projections. The projections kind of had him around plus 720. So once again, it's like FanDuel's just way off market. I'll take you up on this. And the one thing I did really like when I was looking into this, Aaron Civale, you know, he's given up 23 home runs. The splits, there's nothing really crazy there from the splits. I think Kwan actually hits lefties slightly better, and Civale's pretty even with how he's given up his home runs. I think it's 10 and 13 to left and righties. But the one thing I did like is these guys were teammates in 2022 and 2023. I mean, you guys play baseball, you can speak to that. I feel like when you're a teammate with a guy, the scouting report, you know what he throws, and you've probably seen him in practice and lots of things. You're very, very familiar with that pitcher. So I do kind of like that angle as well. The main point of this was the price, and it's going to disappear for sure. It's down to plus 1060. I would still play plus 1060. So go grab it before it finds its way to that plus 800.
Okay. Next up for me, I'm going to take a little bit of a swing here. We're going to go down to that dump Tropicana. Diamondbacks are in town. Ryan Nelson on the bump here for the D-backs, looking to prove that he should be sticking around in that starting rotation. Rumors that he could get bumped to the bullpen, but going to take a little swing on him. Going to go 7 or more strikeouts, plus 225. Grab that over at DraftKings this morning. So look at his game log. Some impressive strikeout totals for him lately. He's had 7 or more in 4 of his last 5 starts, including 9 strikeouts on 3 separate occasions. This guy's ramping up here with the season winding down. Should have a pretty good opportunity to mow down Tampa Bay. Sky-high strikeout totals for them. They have the 4th highest K percentage versus righty since the All-Star break. And he's going to have an opportunity to stick around in this game. Because the Rays, they stink lately against righties. They are dead last in OPS versus right-handed pitching. So we'll take Nelson, 7 or more strikeouts, plus 225. Let's hit a big one. Jingles, Paul Skenes Day.
Paul Skenes.
The Mariners in town. You know, you're a big Paul Skenes guy representing the Pirates with that hat. So how are you supporting Skenes today? What over do you have for Paul Skenes here?
I'm fading Skenes. I need to purchase a limousine to drive me around this weekend, so I'm going to put it all on Skenes. Under strikeouts, 8.5 is a dumb, big, fat number. A little bit of juice, minus 139. If you don't like the juice, guess what? Wait for the 7.5. Get it at plus money, plus 120 probably, or better. Projects for 7.2, 94 pitches. Well, guess what? That's a pretty damn long leash for a guy whose velo's dipping, and there is no reason for Pittsburgh to trot him out right now because their season is pretty much done. This is a golden goose. This is the most important person in all of baseball outside of Shohei Ohtani. He's bringing in money for a franchise that absolutely doesn't spend anything, so they need to protect him. And guess what? Old Kevin Roth, our buddy, our old weather meteorologist, is saying, pump the brakes on the overs. There is some rain, but it could be in the middle. Like, we're talking delay rain. So you add that in, you add the velo dip, you add a market that's oversaturated because everybody bets his overs. You add in the market because everybody loves fading the Seattle offense because their strikeout rate is so high. Well, it's actually gone down in a little bit. So it's kind of the perfect storm of betting. Probably will be sweaty. But, I mean, we talk about paths to unders and paths to overs. The path to 9 strikeouts is pretty much just like a straight line. There's not a lot of branches on it. There are a lot more outs for that under 8.5, and I'm happy to take it. Yes, Yahtzee, 135 on the under 7.5. That's good. Probably down to plus 120.
Yeah, so Skenes, maybe they'll look to scale him down with the season winding down here. Okay, let's wrap up the baseball section by fading another NL Central pitcher, Miles Mikolas. I'm going to take him to allow over 6.5 hits. It should be plus 115 there, actually. A little bit of a typo. That's on me. Plus 115 on Mikolas. Over 6.5 hits allowed. He's getting the shit smacked out of him. He's getting smacked for 7 or more hits in 5 straight games now. He tends to get lit up at home. His worst work has come at home, where he has a 6.38 ERA, and he's taking on a Dodgers team that their lineup has a really good track record against this guy. They've combined for a 3.20 batting average against him in 103 at-bats. So Mikolas will take him to allow a lot of contact. Hope the Dodgers can find some holes, find some gaps, and get at least 7 hits against him. Daniel Fisher in the live chat weighing in. Trey Sweeney coming up for the Tigers. Keep an eye on his future home run props with a
That's what I'm fumbling for right now.
They called up Trey Sweeney and Jace Jung yesterday.
Yeah. Okay, so Sweeney's a big-time prospect for them, I take it?
They just got him in the Jack Flaherty trade. He was one of the two prospects. So it also kind of looks like Javier Baez might be out.
That's got to suck for a guy. No offense to you, John. I know you're a Tigers fan and a big fan of Detroit, but getting traded from the Dodgers organization, who's always in the mix, to the Tigers. Now, you could argue that, okay, with the Tigers, you're going to have a little bit more opportunity. It's the same thing. I'm a Blue Jays fan. And the Blue Jays have had some transactions lately with the Dodgers. And I'm thinking for these guys from the Blue Jays going over to LA and that organization, that's going to be absolutely fantastic for these guys.
But minus 130 for old Trey for one hit today, for one base.
How much?
Minus 130 versus Gerrit Cole. Plus 190. Plus 190 for 2+ bags and plus 750 for a home run at where are they? They're in America today, right?
Yeah, I looked at that game for home run props too. It's, I think the wind's blowing in.
Yeah, wind's blowing in like 76 degrees. It's not fantastic hitting weather.
It's also like kind of gloomy. Looks like it's going to rain. So I'm looking at my window right now. It's not nice though. So I did look at, there's a couple, Kerry Carpenter's crushing the ball right now for them too. I looked at him too, but I just didn't really like the weather forecast for the Comerica Park game.
All right, fellas, let's shift gears over to the NFL as we continue to dig into these.
We didn't mention our 500-1 home run prop.
Go, break her down. Break her down.
High five, but Stephen Kwan apparently is the one leg from Johnny, right? Oh, old leadoff guy. Hopefully 5 plate appearances. I don't even remember who I was doing. I was doing the Jesse Winker hitting in the 4 spot for the Mets today. And then JT Foss dropping Freeman. He's taking the smart route and taking Freeman at plus 440. I had plus 850. Kwan in my book was plus 900, which was at Johnny's no buy point, right? And then you were plus 440. I round robin them all at 2s and the singles at 500-1.
All right, let's do the people a favor. If you wouldn't mind putting that into a tweet at the conclusion of the program, and we'll all retweet it. What was that one we hit? 30, was it 36-1 the last time we did?
Normal bet, and then a guy who usually gets 2 at-bats in a game for a home run from John that was 9-1 that hit.
Jock Peterson goes yard on like the second pitch of the at-bat that he saw, second pitch of the game that he saw. Okay, now let us shift gears over to the NFL. This is a fun market, especially for fantasy football players. Let's talk season-long wide receiver props. We each have 2 bets that we like. Mettler, you're going to get us started. Mervin Harrison Jr., this guy looks to be as can't miss can get. What do you like for him coming into the season?
I'm going Maserati Marv, over 1,500 receiving yards. I think he is the next Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase. I think he's as can't miss as he's being hyped up to. If I see one more highlight on Twitter from training camp of him running a route and the defender just completely leaving the screen, I think I might have to get a little more aggressive with Marvin Harrison Jr. here. His stats, even like last year at Ohio State, weren't as explosive as you might expect, but his quarterback was also terrible. So I think that kind of factors into it too. When you just look at the opportunity here in Arizona, he is like by far the number one wide receiver. He should see a massive amount of targets from Kyler Murray. And when I was going through the market here, this was at DraftKings. They're the only one trading the 1,500. Everyone else was about 1,050, and I think a couple were at 1,075 too. So it doesn't seem like a lot, but I mean, 75 yards, that could be a whole nother game where you need him to go over, right? So 1,500, I really like that. I think he, I don't know. I was kind of like looking at some alternate totals with him. I think this guy is really, really, really good. So I'm expecting a lot from him.
The separation he was getting in like the tweets you saw, and that like every week, every day in training camp, it's so funny. But it's like crappy conditions on the 5-yard line, and the guy's just dusting people, and the hype's starting to grow because he was pretty quiet and he hasn't really. I don't even think he's dressed for a preseason game, right?
Yeah, even like Ohio State, like the contested catches he had at Ohio State when you're watching Ohio State play, it was like just like high pointing the ball, like jump ball guy, like all over the place, like the route running. You really seen it recently. With the Ohio State receivers, Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, they come in the league and explode right away. And then even like there's not really much of a learning curve, I'd say, from these wide receivers. Like Jamar Chase comes in, it's like 1,500 yards. Justin Jefferson comes in, 1,300 yards. Like they're just coming in and dominating right away. I think he falls into that category. If he wasn't tied to all those quarterbacks, I might be a lot, and his price was better. I'd bet him for Rookie of the Year too.
Ooh. Yeah, I like Kyler Murray coming into this season too. Okay, next up, Jingles, you have a bet on A.J. Brown. The Eagles, I don't know what to think of the Eagles coming into this year. We know the wheels fell off for them down the stretch last year. They looked really bad in that playoff game. It seems like the wheels could be on the cusp of falling off once again, floating out there that Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts not on the same page. Major upgrades, though, at offensive and defensive coordinator for them. Maybe not so much with Vic Fangio on the defensive end. But either way, the one constant for them has been A.J. Brown. You like a big season for him. Break it down for us.
You ever seen the movie The Program, Joe, before, if we go back to it, right? Oh, like maybe that's what we get out of Philadelphia this year, where they don't want to play for old crabby coach Nick Sirianni because all of a sudden you got Jalen Hurts having to reach out to Wink Martindale to find out how do you stop? How did the Giants shut you down? And it's sad. Like Nick Sirianni. And I mean, going back to last year, right? Like they've lost the offensive coordinator. They've lost their defensive coordinator. There's some pointing on Nick Sirianni. Maybe it was Shane Steichen who was maybe keeping the boat together because that offense looks a lot better than what you saw last year. But if they can get back together with with more here. I think we're in a good spot. So let's go. Let's go A.J. Brown to lead the league in receiving yards. 12-1. I'll take 12-1 here. You probably got to get to around like 1,800 to 1,900 yards is kind of where Tyreek said it last year. 1,456 finished, but it was a down offensive year for the Eagles. He had 1,000 yards after 9 weeks, and if you put that together at 111 yards per game, you get into that 1,800 yards. You have to remember, I think he was averaging, I think he had like 125 yards in each game from like week 3 to week 8, and everything was going well. And then over the last 4 games, he put up 198 yards. It wasn't a great end to that season. Now we got Kellen Moore, increase in pace. We're going to see a lot more RPO with Saquon Barkley, all positives. And add in that he was dealing with that knee injury that kept him out of the playoff game versus Tampa Bay. So there's a little revenge angle there. I mean, if there's some spots in a guy that can go off for 200 yards a game that's not named Tyreek Hill and that's tied to a good quarterback, I think there's a spot here for him to be in contention somewhere down, what, late November, where you're looking back and being like 14-1 is a pretty good number.
Yeah, I always find the timing of these leaks interesting, like this leak of Sirianni and Hurts not on the same page, or they don't like each other and some of the players don't like Sirianni. Stuff like that doesn't leak by mistake. It was the same thing with McDermott and the Bills last year. Remember the 9/11 story leak from him? That was a story from multiple seasons ago. And I think they were setting him up to be kind of fired in a way. And of course, the Bills ended up rebounding and they finished off the regular season strong. I still think that they should have fired him. He's not able to get that team over the hump. But yeah, it'll be interesting. I won't be surprised if the Eagles finish anywhere between 6 or 12 wins. Yeah, should be fun. Friday night football in Brazil versus the Packers. Can't wait for that one. Okay, my turn here, guys. My pick to lead the NFL in receiving yards. I am going with Amon-Ra St. Brown of the Detroit Lions, 11-1 in this market. So he finished third in this market in 2023. He was 284 yards of shy of Tyreek Hill. And he's about as consistent as it gets at the position. 9 separate games where he had at least 100 receiving yards. Big jumps in production in every season in his career so far. Does the pattern continue? A 249-yard jump from year 1 to 2. Then a 350-yard jump from season 2 to 3. And I don't know if we've mentioned it yet on the show in the build up to the season, but the Lions play 13 indoor games.
I heard that
this season, and Ben Johnson is back as offensive coordinator. I think we're all pretty big on the Lions in some way, shape, or form coming into the season. I'm really big on St. Brown here. I think the 24-year-old has an excellent shot at winning the award, so I'll take him 11-1 in that market. So one guy looking to, start to play up to his potential a little bit. A lot of guys on the Falcons on the offensive side of the ball are saying that with the change in regime at head coach and quarterback, Drake London. Mettler, what do we think for London this season?
Yeah, I'm going Drake London to lead the NFC South in receiving yards, plus 210. If you haven't seen these markets, it's on DraftKings. I think they're the only ones who posted last year. I think they're the only ones who posted this year as well. You can bet on who will lead, like passing, rushing, receiving yards in each division. It's pretty cool. It's very different. I think this is the second one I've attacked kind of in this model here. When I looked at this one, you know, you look at Drake London, it's always in this market. It's always about the competition too, right? So like the top of the board, Mike Evans is also plus 210. Chris Olave is up there plus 370. And then you just have a bunch of Carolina Panthers receivers behind them. Mike Evans, I mean, he's getting older. You also lose your offensive coordinator. He's now coaching in Carolina. Was the Baker Mayfield thing real, or is it going to get dialed back a little bit? That's also kind of why I like Drake London. And then Chris Olave, it's like Derek Carr is your quarterback. They're also talking about maybe Derek Carr isn't the quarterback. I mean, Chris Olave is a good receiver, but again, there's like a lot of QB issues there with the Saints. I just think Drake London, you know, you come in, he's very, very talented. And the one thing, you know, as a Vikings fan, Kirk Cousins, he is not my favorite quarterback, but one thing he does do is he gets the balls to the best players. He's always done that. You know, Justin Jefferson had big, big seasons with them. That's just kind of like his style. And Jingles even pointed out yesterday with a couple of tweets, you do kind of like if Kirk Cousins goes down, Michael Penix Jr. is the backup. So there's kind of like that safety net behind Cousins of like, maybe London loses his quarterback, but he just keeps rolling. And you can't say that about every team. So I think it's kind of like Drake London's time to shine here. Also, just because of who he's mixing with, I'll take the plus 210 on London.
There we go, London. Okay, George Pickens, Jingles, a guy looking to continue to climb that ladder, become a top 10 wide receiver potentially, or maybe not. What are we thinking for Pickens here this season?
No, we released this on the Blitz on Thursday with Derek Cardi, and this was one of his favorite plays, and I'm just kind of shedding more light onto it because these markets are soft and they don't move very quick. Derek released the 10.25 under at minus 160. It's a lot of juice for someone to pay, especially for long-term future stuff. So the minus 115, 9.25 still good. Projects for 8.52. I mean, the QB situation's about as bad as it gets. I would probably rather be in Vegas with Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew than I would be with Russell Wilson and Arthur Smith, who's never had a 1,000-yard receiver in his offensive coordinating career, coaching career. I mean, he had A.J. Brown. That's very telling that he just go from A.J. Brown to leading the league in receiving to now crapping on another Arthur Smith wide receiver in this offense. And I know guys are drafting. There's the situation where you're like, well, it's Pickens, and then it's Van Jefferson, who I think is what? Basically just a pickup knee injury, the long days of actually him being relevant within that three wide receiver set in McVay's offense are gone. But because you have one offensive weapon, that might be the easiest thing for a very defensive division to game plan against. Even if it's like, oh, we got to give him the ball. Guess what? You got terrible throwing QBs. You got opposing defenses who are great, who are going to blanket you. And if the Ayuk thing comes through, guess what? He's not going to be able to be viable for that amount at all. So Pickens stinks. Russell Wilson stinks. Pittsburgh still somehow, like, can we just not get Mike Tomlin not to get to 500, right? Can we just do it, right?
Dude, I know they're going to win a bunch of 16 to 13 games where there's a turnover in the final 3 minutes. And a lot of hate for Pittsburgh today coming from our guy Jingles. Kind of contradicting that there.
I like the people of Pittsburgh. I've been there. They were very nice to me when I probably wasn't the most stable walking human being that existed. But in this, I mean, it's what do we got? The second hardest strength of schedule for the Steelers? Come on. No way Mike Tomlin and this roster and finally no quarterback is – please, please don't do it. Please, under 7.5.
Let's go Penguins. Kevin in the live chat says over under on practices that AJ Brown will participate throughout the season. You know, it's funny you say that. AJ Brown's a guy who's on the injury report all the time, and I've made the mistake before of not necessarily fading him, but it would be like, okay, maybe you'll go against the Eagles, maybe you'll shade towards the under in that game, and AJ Brown questionable right up till game time, then he comes out and has 180 yards. You know, that's probably happened a handful of times throughout his career. So keep that in mind during the season when AJ Brown will be on that injury report often, I'm sure. Okay, let's wrap up this section of the show with a fade of David Njoku, receiver tight end for the Cleveland Browns. We're going to go under 725 receiving yards for him this season. So breakout season for him last year, absolutely had over 800 receiving yards, but I think that was due in part mainly to his chemistry with Joe Flacco. Njoku really came on strong at the end of the season when Flacco was at the helm there at quarterback, three separate games of 91 or more receiving yards on the stretch of the regular season for him. And here's the thing, Flacco's not there. We know who it's going to be. John Mettler's favorite quarterback, Deshaun Watson. And the same chemistry, he did not have that with Deshaun Watson, whether it be last season or in 2023, averages 35 receiving yards per game in the five full games that Watson played last year. And that was a carryover from 2023, an average of just under 33 receiving yards per game in the five games where Watson played. Jingles, I want to ask you about Deshaun Watson. I think there's a shot that this guy could be completely shot. I think that the Browns have got to be scared shitless that they basically sold their soul to bring this guy in. You think he has a shot at getting back to the best version of himself?
I wish I had an answer for you, but like everything you read from Sharp Betting, stuff like that, like Cleftier is one of my favorite previews. And it's the same thing every year where I feel stupid that the Sharp community is always on the positive side of this situation because on the public side, it looks like an absolute fucking disaster. And I've seen nothing myself or through the numbers where you're like, yep, there's going to be a turning point within this offense. Now you add in Nick Chubb, who's coming off a major injury, some issues within that offensive line, which was the strength. And maybe a division where Cincinnati gets a little better, Baltimore takes a step back, but I don't like, is there much to really like about it? Like I'm unconvinced that he will do anything than what we've seen for 2 years.
I mean, he hasn't been good since what, 2020? He took a whole year off. There was a suspension. Yeah. He came back last year and he sucked. I mean, look at his numbers, and he was injured. Now he's, you know, he's had a couple of major injuries throughout his career too. So I think he's shot. I don't like the Browns at all this season. I do not like Watson at all. And I was just joking around calling him John Mettler's favorite quarterback. I'm sure he's only, outside the top five, maybe.
It's basically like Kevin Stefanski holding things together, right? Like Kevin Stefanski took Joe Flacco to the playoffs somehow for, home. It was a home game too. No, was it a home game or no?
No, they went down to Houston.
No, they went down to Houston because they won the division. Yeah. But in that sense, like, you got to give Stefanski credit, who might be the most impressive coach. Like, he probably won't win coach of the year just because of existing wins. And like, you see guys, you just see good team coaches don't get on the list, right? What's his face in Dallas is always at the bottom of the list. Even if they win 13 games, he's never going to get coach of the year in McCarthy. Like, you're going to see guys like Mike McDonald, who lots of people are talking about just because was a stud in Baltimore and then goes to Seattle. If he can turn things around, you're not going to really see that with Stefanski, but he's just probably as solid as anything can go. So if they can get average quarterback play, then they can be competitive in a division that sometimes seems to beat itself up.
Well, it's funny you bring up Mike McCarthy and the Cowboys. You know, I'm a bit of a Cowboys hater, but I know enough to tell you guys that the Dallas Cowboys are a fantastic regular season football team. It's like the Philadelphia 76ers in the NBA a little bit. Like they're always going to get their double-digit wins. Miami Dolphins, absolutely. Yeah, the Dallas Cowboys are the Miami Dolphins of the NFC. Absolutely. They're fantastic on their home field. Take that team total over. But, yeah, a lot of people down on Dallas coming into the season. C.D. Lamb still without a contract there. Mike McCarthy called things pretty good on the offensive side of the ball there for them last year. So, yeah, I think I saw that they're the most popular under bet on season win totals, and I don't know if I agree with that. I think Dallas will have a good regular season, get into the playoffs, then do what they do, urinate all over themselves when the games matter. They're most. Okay, guys. I think we're going to wrap it at that. So like I said, if you missed the top of the show, we are off next week. I'm on vacation. It's not a relaxation type of vacation. I'm moving tomorrow. It's a lot of work, but I will be around. So I'll be checking in on social media. Jingles will be off. I'm sure he'll be checking on social media as well. Mettler will be on the clock. So he'll be there checking in on social media, I'm sure, too. Make sure you guys are subscribed to the Coverage YouTube channel here. A lot of great content on there right now. A lot of great content coming ahead of football season. So we will be back on Monday, August 26th. We start going 5 days a week. A lot of big guests lined up for NFL and college football season. So make sure you tune in then. Guys, thank you very much for watching. Best of luck with your bets tonight and over the weekend and all the next week. We'll see you on the 26th. Woo!